Dieter and Hutch setting records not seen since 1936. My goodness, the Arizona Cardinals. 49ers get a win. They are up. They are down. Snip, snap, snip, snap, snip, snap. But this felt a little different, frankly, Jake. Brock Purdy being back really does change the paradigm for this team.
Yeah, it was interesting because it was like I sort of, and maybe it was me just expecting Brock to be antsy. I was like, is he patting the ball a little bit more? And then, you know, I think the fact that Sky Moore basically got them a touchdown on the first drive, and then the second one was so seamless, there wasn't really any time for it to go wrong.
Right.
They didn't really have a chance to overthink it or to get into any sticky situations where there's a play call issue or someone was misaligned. Did notice quite a lot less of Kendrick Bourne, who wasn't targeted single time in this game. That was a welcome development, I think, for me, and I'm assuming for you too.
If you don't notice, can it be a welcome development? Can I have a welcomeness in an absence of notice? I'm not sure. I will say that your point that this is a front-running football team. They've always been a front-running football team. That's a Kyle Shanahan issue more than anything else. And in fact, I'd argue that Brock Purdy at his best really helps the Niners in that regard. And you can look at the 2024 NFC Championship game as case in point for why Brock Purdy, while he has not had a winning record in losing situations, because of course it's a losing situation, he does do more to help the 49ers have a chance in those situations than prior quarterbacks because of his mobility and his ability to extend plays and to challenge all three levels of the field. But having a 7-0 lead off of one offensive play and then being up 14-0 where you're going like a hot knife through butter, like, it makes football really freaking easy. And when the Cardinals are out here just looking like, to be fair, they didn't practice at one point this week. They were so injured. So to me to come out and be like, did you practice all week? Well, not really, but it's also week 11. You should have your things a little bit more buttoned up than that. Even the Niners weren't as bad at pre-snap penalties and some dumb stuff when they were running dudes off the street than the Cardinals were today. That was an embarrassing performance from Arizona. And frankly, the fact that Jacoby Brissett sets the NFL record for completions,
that was insane.
Makes it look even more embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, the fact he looked exasperated. It was, I thought there were, to be fair, like an abundance of ticky-tack calls by the referees. But at the same time, you rack up 17 penalties and you can't say, oh, it was just the refs out to get us. Like, no. That's a lack of professionalism. That's a lack of preparedness. That's objectively poor coaching. And then Gannon just standing on the sidelines. And I know that doesn't really matter, but there's something about his air of I know better that when you have 17 penalties doesn't quite hit the same way.
I would like to see some exasperation or anything. Just maybe he's been chastised to the point of emotionlessness
because after he beat up a player.
after he beat up a player, after he went full Woody Hayes. That might be a thing, but I will say this, that game feels like the one that gets him fired. I think we talked this week on the Mega Show about how, like, they shouldn't fire him and they shouldn't fire the GM. And I'll take the L. I was wrong. If that's the kind of performance they're going to be putting out for the rest of the season, even amid their injuries, like, that's fireable. That was not professional.
It's something where I do wonder if, like, just from an ownership perspective, I mean, that's a special ownership situation.
Yeah.
But if you just say, hey, we want an offensive coach, we're going to draft a quarterback, we want there to be sort of a marriage of those two, of the coach and the quarterback, and sort of move on from there, versus, like, what is he selling you on the upside? Mm-hmm. You could probably keep Rallis around, who seems to have done a good job, if you feel like you don't want to lose much on the defense. I don't know.
Yeah, it feels like this 18th, 19th time is the charm for Arizona. That, again, the Niners did what they had to do in that game. I think a lot of people will look at the spreadsheet and be like, actually, the Niners weren't all that good today. They forced three turnovers, and they forced it, right?
Like, they did.
Every one of those, the Niners, none of those were gift-wrapped. Were they bad plays by Arizona? Sure. But, like, of course they were. That's how turnovers are created. And they played a bend but don't break for most of the game. They were down their middle linebacker. This is not the person that in general I would wanted to start the show with, but shout out Curtis Robinson. I thought he looked fine. I think it's manageable
in this game.
I'm sorry.
Had 11 tackles in this game.
That's unbelievable. Well, actually, you know what? I should take that back. It's somewhat unbelievable because apparently the only people who can get tackles on the 49ers are middle linebackers. So be it Bethune or Robinson or there's this other guy, Warner, something Warner. He was pretty good. Mm-hmm. It's a position.
Some are saying.
Rumor has it that Fred Warner was good at the foosball. But
it's funny because this is a team that has been prolifically poor. I mean, prolifically is obviously the wrong word for this defense in terms of getting turnovers. They came in with a negative eight.
Poor.
Came in with a negative eight differential. I think had four total.
Right.
But this does like offer sort of a recipe in terms of if this defense is going to suck, do you go for the like Trayvon Diggs model of success of saying we might suck, but like let's force a goddamn turnover.
Right.
Let's sell out. Let's be hyper aggressive on any sort of hitch route, anything coming back to the ball, and just look for any sort of detail that we can pounce on in film study and be really proactive about hunting that because we're going to allow yardage. Yes. We are not capable. We do not have the dudes to prevent teams from getting yardage on us. But can we turn the ball over? Can we hold teams in the red zone? Or as coaches always say, the red area. I love that everyone else calls it the red zone, but they call it the red area.
Is there like a copyright in the NFL sent out?
It's like the 2-minute timeout in college where it's like, what are we doing?
We know what this is. It's a warning. There might be a trademark infraction situation there. These guys don't want to go run afoul. We can say it, though, because we have those rights as Americans.
But like you do have some explosive players in the secondary that can force some turnovers.
Well, I mean, one of those is D'Amador Lenore, and this
had
was
a hell of a game.
Unquestionably his best game of the year, in my opinion, and the kind of game that we've been – I've been very hard on Demo because as the Niners needed him more and more, he has played worse and worse, and I did not like that trend, and it had been a 4 or 5 week trend there for Demo. And in this game, inarguably, they needed him the most – right? Just another set of injuries. Then Bethune goes down, who, again, I'm not the biggest Bethune guy, but functionally speaking, he can do that job. And that throws that into disarray. And Lenore was sticky in coverage. He was disciplined in coverage. He gets that big pick. Was he disciplined in just continuing to run? No, but have fun, buddy. Do your
thing. He wasn't even the cornerback to almost get in a fight. So props to him for staying out of that.
Amen to that. The safety situation is going to continue to be messy. It just is. Malik Mustafa had a pick today. I also saw him whiff on a bunch. Like his game is not where it was. It might get there by the end of the year. That would be a tremendous development for this team.
I think it's going to take until next year for him to look fully right.
Year after the year. So, and then, you know, you got Jair Brown, who at this point, we don't need to bemoan the point, like or belabor the point, or bemoan it any further. Like, we know what he is. He's not going to be the guy that at least I thought he could be initially upon playing him.
He's been a solid tackler around the box. He's been pretty comfortable there, but in terms of like long angles and deep coverage, it's inconsistent. I will say he's been clearly, I think this has been his best season.
The team also clearly has two strong safeties in a too high shell. Like it is not ideal. That's a structural issue that John Lynch came into apparently because he was a strong safety. He can't imagine.
Well, they do have a free safety, but he's a rookie and they don't trust him. At least Nick Martin and Marquis Siegel were back on the field. Like it was nice to at least see at the end of that game, both of them had good reps. Siegel broke up, I think a touchdown. Mm-hmm. Martin had some great form tackles. I was impressed by that.
When he gets to you, he does bring you down. He does a really nice job on that front.
Yeah. I would love to see him against Duo, but that won't happen this season.
And I think if Robert Saleh wants to earn his paycheck, he'll make sure that doesn't happen because Nick Martin didn't get onto the field until, well, frankly, they had no other choice and until the Cardinals were.
Well,
like,
they did have a choice. They did go base and they chose him over Gifford.
Yeah, for one rep. I believe
it was a couple. It was a couple reps.
Okay.
But it wasn't many.
Go down the field and score?
I mean, it didn't seem to help.
Gifford had a couple of nice tackles. He had a couple of woeful special teams reps. We're not here to talk about Luke Gifford. We're here to talk about Brock Purdy, George Kittle, and Christian McCaffrey, who need to do that every game for the rest of the year, and yep. that will determine how long this year is.
That's my takeaway. Like, it's they got to put up 30 points a game. That's the recipe. Like, and you're not going to be able to count on 17 turnovers. It's just not viable. I mean, 17 penalties. It's just not viable. Turnovers.
A total of 20. You know how they call it stocks in basketball, like blocks and steals?
Yes.
Like, turnovers and penalties should be a combined stat. They had 20 today.
It is something where, like, if they can force a single turnover a game and the offense can get them to 28, they've got a shot in every game. But, like, they need to get to 28.
Four tutties and a turnover?
And it's, yeah, and I'm not even saying just, like, over the next few weeks where it's like they have theoretically easier opponents. Like, they're the Panthers are squirrely. They're a weird team. I'm not saying they're record. Good, but, yeah, they have a winning record. I would just on first glance expect them to win. The Browns.
The Niners, that is, yeah.
Yeah. Kyle Shanahan has never played well against a Jim Schwartz defense. Ever.
No, and I'm actually somewhat excited to get back into that tape because we know that is a fact, and I know we've broken this down before, and then every year I forget. I just forget what the Jim Schwartz defense does.
I mean, now, if they're starting Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel, it might not matter. That said, seeing Dylan Gabriel, if Nick Martin plays, again, Dylan Gabriel did truck stick Nick Martin, and it's something that I have not been able to get out of my head.
Nor should you. That's the kind of ick that sticks around. yeah, that's a tough. Can they trade back for Joe Flacco? Is that allowed? Is there like a special dispensation?
They
like
should.
The Flacco rule. He's like the all-time quarterback for the NFL. Like anytime,
yeah, that was,
the team needs one.
I didn't watch Shedeur, but it's awesome to come out on the sidelines hyping people up, and then just go 4 for 16.
It's called immediately the Jordan Poole.
Throw back.
Just shoot 4 for 16. Just awful. That's a Draymond Green stat line right now. Kittle was exceptional. It should also be noted.
He looks fantastic.
He looked so good. And should also be noted with him that not only did he score 2 touchdowns, he also freed up Christian McCaffrey on his with a very legal, though morally dubious pick play.
Yes.
So that's kind of 3. He gets the assist on that touchdown.
That's the sweet spot. Morally dubious, but technically illegal.
Football's
that's what our country
morally
loves.
Dubious, you know?
Yeah.
And then McCaffrey, statistically, he was awesome. He was just absolutely awesome. And I thought Purdy, again, 200 yards might not pop off the screen, but you were making a big note of this. I just thought he was – I just thought he looked so damn good.
Here's
in complete control.
Yeah. He threw the ball away a couple times. There have been games where he has done the thing where he does the, oh, God, no, oh, God, no. And then sometimes it's, oh, God, yes, like with Steph and Steve Kerr that he's made a career out of that.
Yeah.
But a lot of the times with Purdy in the last year or two, it's been, oh, God, no, oh, God, no, oh, God. And then it's a turnover or just a terrible play, or he puts himself in a really precarious situation to get injured. Right. There's almost one on that 2-point conversion that was a little dicey. Where Pinheiro pulled his hammy and they had to go for 2.
Let Juszczyk kick. Like,
yeah.
How is there not
Kyle
somebody...
doesn't have fun with stuff like that.
No, he is not a very fun guy, is he? His wife says he needs to be more fun.
Well, I think he cuts loose once he gets off the field, but like once it's outside of the football realm. But there's a level of like going back to the NFC Championship where, and I get it because your entire season's like leading up to this and you don't want to just start running Veer. You don't want to start running the triple option or wildcat or something, but like, I don't know, have some fun in the moment.
Get weird. You know, you are very, very good at this. Every now and again, you should cut it loose. Like McVay cuts it loose every now and again. I do think that maybe and that's a big IF.
Yeah.
He ever wins a Super Bowl, he might be a totally different person. Like legitimately.
I think you're right. There's a real angst of just incompletion there.
You're going to see this in your life. There are going to be particularly women, but some men who are at a stage in their life where they want to get married and settle down and all that stuff.
Oh,
and they
just
start acting fucking weird.
I know someone like that. I know someone like that where it's like, oh, you're engaged? You started dating this girl 6 weeks ago. What's happening?
And so not just that, like they're just going to be weird about it. And until they had this idea of, okay, well, I deserve that. Or like, this is my destiny. And until that destiny is achieved, they're just going to be antsy and weird and strange, and that's kind of Kyle Shanahan, but that's neither here nor there. I thought the offensive line today was quite solid, save for Colton McKivitz getting worked once or twice.
Yeah, and one of those was like Pooney helping him the wrong way, where there's that urge to just help as an O-lineman, I think, where they...
100%.
They're like, let me get a hand on the guy. It's like, oh, you're actually practically, if it's better please if you do nothing.
Please stop pushing him towards me.
Anthony Bradford knows all about. I like Seahawks fans that are like, well, I thought we'd fixed our line, and Anthony Bradford's still starting for them and just turned around the wrong direction, blocking no one.
I'll say this. This is not a Seahawks show, and I have not been watching as much Seahawks film as I did before basketball season started, where I would take in all of the NFC West teams every week and the Chargers because of my daughter. But
of course.
Anthony Bradford did look fixed for like 4 weeks, and then he was broken again. He went Kuminga. That's what happened. Yeah. You thought he was fixed, and then he's like,
listen, I was, people all were sold on Kuminga. Three games into the season. Oh, he's fixed. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know about all that.
I'm with you. I'm with you on that one. The offensive line, and it's not just a 1 week thing. Now, your point that you made in our text chain before the show is accurate. Not exactly going up against the cream of the crop. And that includes the Rams, who kind of dogged it most of the game.
They literally phoned it in. I'm not kidding. Like Jared Verse looked like he was half-assing it in that game.
Okay. Well, nevertheless, it's not a very high bar to be a top 10 offensive line in the NFL right now. Yeah. Niners offensive line over the last month looks like one.
They look miles better. And I think they will probably end up just benching Spencer Burford completely for Ben Bartsch. If it's not this week, yeah. I bet after the bye. But I think
a couple of dynamite plays today.
The one where Bartsch dove like head first, almost into the back of McCaffrey to push him like an extra yard towards the end of the game. He just looks, and that's something that's why, like in the preseason guide, we pointed out like three X factors. It was Bartsch, Siegel, and Pearsall. Just because they're guys that had such a potentially massive outsized impact. And I think if he gets going and stays healthy the rest of the way, you're going to see this offensive line continue to look better. I mean, Trent has looked a lot better. Again, not facing as much power, but he's just looked more comfortable. Pooney's definitely looked better. I don't know about this week. Brendel's clearly better than Hennessy, even if that's not great.
Right. Again, we have to grade on the curve with anything offensive line, not just with Niners, but on a national level. Like, there's one Creed Humphrey. There's like three other really good ones. And then everybody else, they're just holding their breath. And Jake Brendel's part of that. But when you hold your breath, at least you know he knows the play. Whereas Hennessy, that was starting to show up a little bit. The blocking is going to be questionable. But that's something we can get into more once we've gone back and watched the tape. But again, when we're not talking about the 49ers offensive line immediately, when we don't have a C of 20,000 people on social media bitching about the 49ers offensive line, that's a banner day. That's a 10 out of 10 performance.
Again,
I haven't heard it.
It's the old adage of like, if you don't notice them, it's probably good. And I noticed them a few times and it was mostly good. It was mostly, blocking and Bartsch doing a few different things. I thought Juice had a couple good blocks. McCaffrey they just looked dialed in and like everything was pretty easy on offense.
How much of this do you attribute to you have this lead, you're going up against an Arizona team that was really feeling sorry for itself coming in? I mean, I watched one of the great developments of this modern age. There's a lot of bad, but this is good. They're just putting all the press conferences and locker room video. Teams are just throwing all of that on YouTube. And if not the team, then there's enough reporters, even in Arizona, to throw it on YouTube. And I watched all of it. I was looking for some good quotes. And my goodness, the belly aching that team was going through. And to be fair, they were on the second page of their injury report.
Yeah.
And I do believe that statistically, they're the most injured team in the NFL.
I think they are the most injured team in the NFL right now.
But injury impact does come into play. Like, Nick Bosa, a little bit different than Kyler Murray.
It's also like you can be injured and not commit 17 penalties. Like the Niners have been dead for weeks and they're just somehow functioning to various degrees.
They're a well-coached team.
Right.
I do think that needs to be hammered home. While the game plans are not always perfect, or sometimes they're just a bit too avant-garde for the circumstance.
Right. Or not avant-garde enough.
Right. Like they're just, they don't hit the right note. It's hard. It's a very difficult square to circle when you don't have talent. Like when you're going with the dredges, it's very difficult to nail the game plan. You need cool players to make cool plays. But they're disciplined, more or less. There's an understanding of what it is the team's trying to do. They feel prepared for games 9 times out of 10. And there are teams that apparently that's just not the case for. And a lot of times we find out what teams those are based on when they play the 49ers. And the Arizona Cardinals are apparently not one of those teams.
Yeah. I mean, and that's a team that still has like a veteran front, still has Calais Campbell on it. Like,
that was a tough call against Calais Campbell today.
Yeah. Again, of the 17 penalties, there were like at least a half dozen. I was like, I don't know about that.
Yeah. Like, you still had 12 penalties against you today.
Correct. To one. So, Not ideal. Yeah, I do think they're a team that's just like, you start to get to this point in the season where teams are like, all right, well, this is not happening. I'm going to, and some players take that and they just start playing harder because they're looking for a contract. And some guys go, I'm just trying to get my paycheck and get out of here because this is not going anywhere.
Did Arizona trade anybody at the deadline? Were they?
I don't think so. Not that I'm aware of.
I know that there were calls, perhaps even from the San Francisco Bay Area, about one Calais Campbell. He said he didn't want to move because the only reason he's playing is because he wanted to go back to Arizona and play, and that's where he's from.
The Madison Bumgarner deal.
Yeah, correct. Though Calais Campbell on a Bronco would be one hell of a sight. That would be incredible. Yeah. Or a dirt bike, frankly. Either one of those would be fantastic. But, yeah, he said he didn't want to go. They look pretty dumb not making any moves, not selling anything high. I really liked the way that they
You could trade Buda Baker. Some teams are still going to be like, regardless of what his tape is, some teams are going to be like, well, it's still Buda Baker, right? Someone's going to, I don't know.
That ain't Buda Baker.
Yeah. I didn't notice him a single time in this game.
He is no longer a deity. He is.
I mean, it's tough when you're like a small guy that puts your body on the line every game for a decade. Eventually it's going to start to decline.
It was a tough look. Anybody else stand out to you, good or bad?
Yeah, I mean, I think Alfred Collins, I will shout out the field goal near block he had. Mm-hmm. There are just times where you see him losing ground, but then he does something so physically impressive that you're like, I don't know what to make of this play. I don't know what to make of this player, but there's just something there, and clearly Robert Saleh is deeply in love with him, the way that Moose Johnson was talking about him on the broadcast. Tough broadcast.
Tough broadcast. I can't do that crew anymore. That's like the bottom of the barrel Fox crew, but not the fun bottom of the barrel Fox crew.
No.
Like Kugler, and here's the thing. Kevin Kugler is one of the best play-by-play guys in the game because he does the Westwood Run 1 broadcast for national stuff on radio, and he's so good. Like Kugler game's elite. I think he does it with Mike Golic on Monday Night Football. Yeah, Monday Night Football.
That sounds right.
Or Thursday. And those are so good. And then he gets Moose Johnson. And I think everybody is just thinking about like what the laws for legal euthanasia are by the end of the game. Like it is a tough listen. George Kittle had an interesting quote about Alfred Collins. First off, he called him Alfred Morris, which shout out to the FAU Alfred Morris.
Awesome.
But Alfred Collins, he was just speaking very glowingly about him and how he gives unbelievable effort on every play and that he just really, really likes it. Apropos of nothing, George Kittle brings this up in the presser. I personally haven't noticed that. I've noticed what you've noticed, which is like you want it to work. And when it works, it's awesome.
No, he is a guy with like elite effort though.
That's awesome. That's great. That will get you so far in life, you know? Like one of the issues with Javon Kinlaw, who by the way had an unbelievable play this morning in the Madrid game. Yeah, it might have been a game-winning play at a certain point. It was one-on-one him and I think it was Ollie Gordon or maybe it was Achan. No, it was Achan. Like at the line, tie game, and he just picked him. He suplexed him. It was awesome.
I mean, he should at that size.
It's true. He's a very large and intimidating man. But his issue was that not only was he getting pushed back 5 yards a lot, he would just disappear. The effort wouldn't be there. He'd dog it. He would dog it a lot, in fact. And if you're going to be a bit, listen, big dogs, I get it. It's hard to give that effort every, you want to get subbed out. But if you're a big man, and Alfred Collins is a massive man amongst very large men, if you give crazy effort all the time, like, coach is going to give you minutes, baby. Like, there's that's also, why Tom loves him.
I think there's something, I don't know how to quantify it at all. I do think it's like maybe a little bit of a blind spot in terms of his size at the line of scrimmage causes problems for, especially for shorter quarterbacks in terms of swats. Keon White got one at the line, but like, that's actually a problem. If you're a quarterback and you're either too clear with where you're going with the ball or just can't see, like, someone with that size makes it tougher to make throws. And I'm not sure that's an area that's probably been scouted or talked about enough. I think it's like an understood thing that it helps, but like, that's a real beneficial trait, especially as he starts to collapse pockets more and more in his career.
It'll be interesting to see if the Niners, because they didn't get home very much. I know Brissett had a couple of throws under duress. That was that is a beleaguered offensive line. That offensive line has been going through it all year. They had Johnson, but everybody else, it's like, that was some bare bones shit going on.
Yeah, that's
and
brutal.
They were not making Jacoby Brissett completed 47 passes for 450 yards. Like, clearly it wasn't the worst day that he's had at the office in quite a while. And so I'm wondering if the Niners almost, it'll be interesting. Bryce Young is almost an inverse of what they just got, where it's like, if you hit him once, he might die. So let's try that. But man, there is something to, you actually have, like, outside of Huff, like, some surprising size on the line. Like, White's a big guy.
He's a big dude.
He's a big one. Like, and I thought he would rush more inside. Maybe they're just not in a position.
I just don't think they have enough. And also, I feel like Beal got a concussed, like, almost immediately.
He had a nice play.
He did.
Don't say that.
I told you a few weeks ago, I saw some nice things. I don't know that he's a good player, but Bob Beal's made some nice plays.
I love the concept of Bob Beal. It sounds like he's selling insurance.
Bob Beal.
Kenosha, Wisconsin. Oh, yeah. You know, Bob, he sponsors.
Or Kohler, Wisconsin. We had a good time there.
We've been to Kohler. Okay. Yeah, that was a good trip. Don't ask
me. You ever wanted to see Dieter in a full panic screaming at the state of Wisconsin for not plowing the roads at 2 or 3 in the morning?
Not salting them. It was just slipping all over the place. I'm in my dad's boat of a fucking Buick. Drove it up from Chicago.
I think Sam's in the back seat just like cutting up a video pretending it's not happening.
No.
It's like a 3-hour drive.
Did I ever tell you the basic context of this story, so I can give the punchline here.
Yeah.
Is we were at, it was
Hafanga block NFC
divisional round?
Divisional, where it was the bad game against the Packers. They hung in there, got the block at the end.
So a couple of things happened in that one. One, we all flew into Chicago and drove up. I'm from Chicago. My parents were not in Chicago. I'm like, can I take your car instead of renting one? Because I'm going to be lugging a bunch of people. So I take my dad's car. We all drive up. We stay in Kohler, Wisconsin. We then drive to Green Bay. Then we're driving back to Kohler. It started snowing in that game. You saw it on TV.
Correct.
Obviously, all of Wisconsin's road crews weren't working that night because the Packers game is on. And so we're driving, and this, you know, this big wide sedan is slipping left, right, and center all over the highway.
Yes.
I've never been in an accident. Like, I'm a good driver. People say that, like, I got the record to back it up. We're at 20 years now. And I'm dying because I'm going to take myself and all these people in my dad's car down.
It's something where it's simultaneously like the funniest thing I've ever seen.
Yes.
And I'm also like, this is potentially a problem.
Watching this man mentally break down, just absolute panic in my body. We get to the hotel. I'm like, holy shit, like, non-functional, just totally despondent. I tell my mom, like, she's like, oh, how was the trip? Did the car work out okay? It's like, yeah. Well, I actually had a really hard time in the snow on that thing. And she goes, oh, there's a button. have to press the snow button and it won't slip all over the road. So, yeah, Bob Beal.
Good time. Good time.
There was a good fucking time. Button the whole goddamn
just Dieter pack. Screaming into the void, pave your fucking roads.
It was brutal. That was still a rough one.
Yeah.
Is the 49ers road to the playoff paved in gold right now? Are they paved? Are they ready?
Wow, that's an awesome awesome question.
Because they got the Panthers, they got the Browns. We've talked about the challenges.
They're going to lose one of the next three games. It won't be the Titans.
In totality?
I think they're going to win two out of their next three and have to win one of the last three.
I like that because I think the Bears are suspect.
I agree.
I think that...
I do also think the Colts can be gotten, despite
without question. I think it's going to be trickier in Indianapolis, to be fair, but I don't know what the Colts' schedule looks like.
Yeah, I don't really know how they're going to stop Jonathan Taylor.
Oh no, they don't.
But they might also put up 40.
Right, and I think that might be the biggest takeaway. Like what they did today has to be the blueprint. It has to be four touchdowns and a turnover. It has to be Brock just perfectly orchestrating everything. I think you were more on top of this than I was. I mean, he was really doing a lot of stuff at the line of scrimmage in a way that Mac, Mac could, but probably didn't have the power to do.
I'm not saying they fundamentally overhauled their CAN system, but it was different. There was clearly from the jump, they got into more looks. And I think part of that was Mac's like limited mobility. Like they changed from under center to shotgun quite a bit. Juice was just getting his steps in. There was one play where he went can, reload. And Juice is like, where do you want me?
Please stop. I have run 142 yards. We haven't even snapped the ball yet. I know exactly what play you were talking
about. Yeah.
He had to go from outside the numbers to the backfield to back outside the numbers.
Yeah.
And like, by the way, not because of a mistake, just because Brock was cycling through audibles at the line of scrimmage. It was good
also, how about like that game that we identified dash motion? Now it's like they're running it like 10 times a game with Juice.
Yeah. And the gap stuff was there today too.
Yeah. I mean, the run game just as a whole looks completely functional. I just think the offense can kind of get what it wants against most defenses in the league at this point. It's just like a question of
maybe not.
And they, That'll be a tricky
maybe not the Browns either, but that one's for a
no. They no the Browns game again. Shedeur Sanders might be like the limiting factor with the Browns, and their offense might just be so bad it doesn't matter.
Right,
but that defense is going to cause this team some problems.
I saw something, and forgive me, I didn't write this down. That Myles Garrett is like the first player to have 12 sacks in each of his first six seasons. And somebody was like, it's November 16th. What are you like? How on earth does he already have 12 sacks?
He's unbelievable. I don't know what you do. That's going to be a problem for Trent, too.
Do you think, we don't watch a lot of the Carolina Panthers because as relegated as the Niners are on the Fox broadcast, the Panthers are somehow even lower. And I don't think I've watched a full Panthers game this year. I don't think anyone has,
Dieter.
No, not even the folks, the fine folks in Charlotte, North or South Carolina.
Not even those people who quit their podcast and then went, all right, we're good again, so we'll bring it back. Soft.
Did they come back?
They came back.
I don't think Steph Curry has watched a full Panthers game this year.
No, he's busy with other things.
Well, he's got to make a new shoe company. But
I'm sure it will be ethically sourced.
Jesus.
Sorry.
I do.
The more left unsaid there, the better.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about that the other day with Kyrie, and it's like, oh, it's great that Nike dropped me because now I can also use factory labor from the same area.
Right.
We don't want to be demonetized.
Right. Real third eye opening stuff.
Yeah. Right. Fourth, sixth, seventh. Who's to say?
Who knows?
Here's a documentary on Amazon you should watch. But I don't know enough about Carolina. If my knowledge is simply this, their defense, quite bad. Their offense is inconsistent, but I think you use the word feisty. Maybe that's because they're cats, and that's typically how
they're a
cats.
Squirrely team.
If you get Bryce Young, if you don't get Bryce Young, he can get you. And there is enough receiving talent and now running talent, I guess, with
also, McMillan doesn't really need to be that open. He can kind of just like win a 50-50 ball.
Yeah.
So
I think Coker's really, really good. I mean, Xavier Leggett out here making us look like geniuses because we were like, I don't really get it. Like, I guess you could, but I don't.
But really, I mean, he had a good day today.
Oh, did he now? That's good to know.
Yeah.
Good for his.
He either he has seems like a
nice
career
guy.
He either has like a career day or puts up zero.
Not a high bar I hear on career days.
Yeah.
Listen, they get an extra day. It's at home. I'm fascinated. Do you want to check the line on that? I'm going to guess Niners minus 4.5.
Ooh, I was going to go there. I would almost say it might be higher. I think it might be like 6.
Okay. You want to try to look that one
up? I'll look that up while you vamp.
I'm going to just pull this one up from Benali. We're going to get into questions a little bit later, but this is a statement about the Seahawks defense.
Go ahead. It's 6.5 to 7.
God damn.
Yep.
Yeah. Look at me just shitting all over the Niners at 4.5. Along this point, Darnold throws 4 interceptions. I mean, I wasn't watching. I've heard tell.
Yeah, I didn't.
And they still had a chance to win it. The Niners cannot, should not, and will rue the day if they allow this thing to go to week 18. If they need week 18, that's a real problem.
That means something has gone horribly wrong at some point over the next few weeks. And it probably means like a really brutal loss against the Bears.
They need 10. 10 is safe. 10 is secure.
10 is good. 10.
Triples is best. They need 3 more wins. Triples is best.
Yeah.
And they have 5 games to do it, in my mind, because you just cannot. It's not to say that they couldn't beat Seattle, but they'll need Seattle to beat themselves in a pretty significant way, or
it
simply
feels,
just decide to not play.
Feels like a tall order at that stage. And that will,
even at home,
again, that will be a situation where most likely they're coming off of a loss or 2 straight losses.
Yeah, in all likelihood. Jesus, that would not be an ideal circumstance.
The benefit is they do have their bye week coming up, which I don't know how much of a benefit. Like, no, it's they could have used it weeks ago. Now it's like, do they even need one? Like, no. They almost.
Now it's like ruining momentum.
Yeah.
We just figured it out. It's a real concern. Like, week 14 bye is great. You know what? I'm going to give the NFL some credit on this. When you give the 49ers a schedule this easy, it's like, no, let's do it. You know, we can push their bye week latest because their schedule's the easiest, because, you know, they'll probably want the bye to like ramp up for the playoffs because they'll already be in. There's no way that everyone's going to get injured, right? Well, they did. So you don't see that one coming, even if it's the Niners.
I like that they just like almost literally did run out of linebackers today. And then they just went, you guys were both concussed, but you're coming back in the game because we need you to play.
It's Stone Blanton time.
Stone Blanton, baby.
Nick Martin learning. Nick Martin's been doing a whole lot of not playing. Do you think during that time they were teaching him the intricacies of the defense so that he could be a Mike?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
It didn't appear so. It didn't appear so the way they were like, Luke Gifford, you're up.
I mean, Benali, like, they keep bringing up the late bye because it's very clear confusion. I'll say this. You know, Kittle brought it up. And he's like, I could go on for an hour. George, I've heard you go on for an hour about any bye week, no matter when it is. This team had a bye week in week 9 for like 3 straight years, and all he did was bitch about that. What he wants is 2. The problem is, to get 2,
you need
to trade for an extra game and a trip to Iceland or something.
Don't worry, the NFLPA is very well run, I've heard.
Yeah.
Good leadership, good organizational structure, strong communication.
Yeah, definitely being led by someone currently.
By the way, Thomas Morstead on the executive council, if anyone wants to ask him some questions.
He's kicking, he's punting, he's executive counseling. Who is going to be the Niners kicker next week, Jake?
Me. I am. My knee was bothering me a little bit today, but I'm going to ramp up. I'm going to go down to Kezar, and I'm just going to kick And you know,
right to left.
Yeah, I'm just gonna watch some YouTube videos and make sure my mechanics are good.
I'll get Brandon Kornblum on the phone with you. He can like Zoom coach you for a
great. Yeah. Great. I'm good with it. I can make anything from my range is 50 at the top.
I don't know what the Rams, I presume Mevis kicked today for the Rams. I don't know what it is they're going to do.
Oh yeah. They should just pluck him off their practice squad just on principle.
Get the other one. Yeah. Just pluck him off on principle. That's fair.
Cardi's still on their roster.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me see. Kick and returns. Mevis kicked today. He had three extra points. He had three extra points last week. He's an extra.
Yeah, I think they've got, but they don't trust either of them to make field goals, so they continue to go for it on fourth down.
That's a good way to live, frankly. I will say that, you know, going on the principle of Kyle likes to sign guys he already knows, I know of a kicker on a practice squad that they could sign. They should do it. They should do it for the bit.
That would be fucking hilarious.
For all of what we said about Kyle not being a funny guy, that would be hilarious.
I would love for them to do that. Just bring back Jake Moody. Just
bring him back. Just don't acknowledge it. Don't say anything.
We're working out a few kickers. Just like people ask and you say we're working out a few kickers. The official announcement has already come through that they've signed him. They're like, yeah, we're working out a few guys. I don't know who we signed. Jake Moody's standing next to Kyle. They're like, so you've signed him, right? Kyle's like, yeah, I don't know. John's in charge of that. I don't know.
Yeah. You know, we like what he brings. He had pretty good reps for the Bears.
I don't know. The special teams can tell you about that. I'm not sure. I'm not familiar with him.
That would be so goddamn great. What I wouldn't give.
What would it take for them to go that route?
They won't do it because I think Moody would be like, I won't report.
Oh yeah, I mean, well, because you'd
Jake,
also
we're offering you $100,000 in cash
because you're also trying to put somebody on the practice squad. So like poaching practice squad to practice squad isn't really viable.
No, they'll probably
unless you IR. There's a whole.
Heaven knows they can IR somebody. There's enough people that they can IR. They'll figure it out. Parting thoughts on this game or any other game.
Oh, you're asking for mine. I thought you were.
Yeah, I'm asking for parting. Was that just a vague statement? Was that a noun?
I thought you were about to lead in. Parting thoughts on this game is that, again, I do think this is the recipe aside from the penalties. Okay. The offense is going to have to rip, and I think it will.
Yeah.
I just don't know if the defense getting turnovers is going to be viable. And without Pinheiro, what does that look like? Maybe it's something where Kyle, out of necessity, is more aggressive on fourth down. And that's maybe more beneficial where they just end more drives with scores because the field goal is not even an option.
Right.
And so Dieter's gone catatonic, by the way.
Well, I was just thinking about the first alert weather system on NBC. The Warriors game's on behind.
No, but I do think that they can and probably will make the playoffs at 10-7 and be feisty. And be able to put up maybe 30 in a game, but probably lose because their defense is not realistic. It's just not a defense.
It's awful. They're not going to play another close game for the rest of the year.
That's a great take.
They are going to win games the way they won them today or lose games in catastrophic fashion. The last 2 weeks are our new reality.
I think that Browns game is going to be close.
Not if Shedeur Sanders starts.
I think it still will be. I think they will just run the ball with Quinshon Judkins 1,000 times and say we're gonna take this into deep waters, 16-6 late in the game, or 16-16, who knows?
Yeah,
and then force a turnover and just have their defense win it.
I'm sure that the weather in Cleveland, Ohio, will be lovely on November 30th, though.
It's the most obvious. It's so obvious. It's not even a trap game.
Right.
That line is probably going to be like Niners by 3, and
it's going to be way higher than that, and it is going to get bet down so goddamn fast, you won't believe it. They're going to have to set it at like 7.5, and they're even going to be like, it should be 10. And then people are going to be like, we're taking this thing all the way down to 2.
Yeah, 100%.
We could do that right now. Again, I'm beating around, but do you have any feel on the Panthers game?
Yeah, I think the Niners will gut them. Like, I don't care what the Panthers have done, and I know that they're frisky. I sort of don't care. Just on a vibe basis, I think the Niners will slaughter them.
If the Niners can have a consistent vibe, that would be fantastic. Let's do some questions/statements. Yep. Chaz, according to Tim Ryan, Barton was the reason the tight end had to commit that holding penalty to wipe out the time. that's nice for Tim to say that. What happened on that play, according to my eyes and perhaps the eyes of others, was the tight end blocked him pretty good, had him horizontal, and then decided to give him a bear hug on the way down for no good reason. It was a hold. It was an unnecessary one.
Agreed. Yeah,
I thought Martin had some nice pop, some nice flash.
That's not a play I would be complimentary of. He had other actually good plays.
Right. If you don't touch him, listen, that's not unique to him as a linebacker. If you don't touch him, he's great. If you touch him, he's done. You can maybe make the same argument for Tatum Bethune. I like our new pass rush strategy of falling down so fast the officials assume it must have been holding. Yeah, that was another one. That happened. That was a real thing. Who was that? Was that Keon White?
Keon White. I think Bryce Huff had one. I think both. Yeah.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff. Paris Jackson.
By the way, Keon White has been a sneaky, fine addition.
Totally fine. Totally necessary and totally fine.
Right.
Why didn't they do anything at the trade deadline, Jake? Sorry.
I don't know, Dieter.
You guys talked about maybe Kyle needing to call a more Mackish game for Brock. Do you think he did?
It's tough to say without like really rewatching it and like comparing it, which I know is big picture, but it didn't feel that way. It also felt like he had more freedom, and maybe that's just because of the way the cans looked, but it felt like he had more freedom to call what he wanted and get to what he wanted. And like, there was a little bit more aggression in terms of this is the offense we want to run. But no, I don't feel like there were any limitations. And I feel like that was part of the way that they brought him back, was like, when he's going to be back, we're going to run what we're going to run. And it's going to be with Ricky, and it's going to be full speed.
I would almost flip it. So we absolutely talked about Kyle simplifying it. I think, and you pointed this out, Jake, Kyle complicated it, and Mac learned the lessons. I'm sorry. Right. Brock learned the lessons of Mac, where he goes, hey, man, I'm going to throw it away. Like, I can do all this stuff. And yes, there was one that should have gotten picked off right near the end zone. Like, yeah, that was one.
Right.
Mac gave you three or four of those. Brock usually gives you three or four of those. And it was almost to the point where I was actually like a little concerned that he was being too conservative. And in this game,
no,
not
I think you're right. Yeah.
Like, there was the one where he rolls out. This was right before the second Kittle touchdown. Rolls out to the right. He's there. He's pointing to, I believe it was Jennings, to go the other way along the back line of the end zone. And as he does, he just kind of throws it up and over it. And you could say, oh, he airmailed it. Or you could say he threw it away. I don't know what the answer is.
I think he threw it away.
I think that's probably right, because he only airmailed one of them. It was early, and I think he got his feet under him from that point on. But you could have made the argument, like, just keep leading him. Throw the exact same pass he threw to Kittle on the next one, where it's kind of a looper that goes into a spot. Like, throw that one. But Brock decided, no, it wasn't worth the trouble. We'll get him next time, which you can get away with in that game against the Cardinals. I'm curious on if that's going to be I'm curious if that's going to be the case moving forward. I know it's not going to be the case against the Browns, probably not the Bears, and certainly not the Seahawks. But luckily, those are only three of the last six games.
Thank you for the 10. Seemed pretty audible, and score was. Yeah, there. Like, I want to look more into it. It's tough because I'm just not going to have the fucking time to do it. There's all these things I want to do, but I'm grading so much that there's just a amount of time that it takes.
You should outsource it to guys in India.
Like PFF, I should. Yeah. I just completely copy what they do.
That's
and then
the
just
joke.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be there in a few weeks. Maybe I can meet some boots on the ground.
You can write this off on our taxes.
Who knows? But yeah, I do think, like, I want to look at that more. Like, what did they get to? What were they trying to get to? And it's, like, kind of hard and impossible to tell. Yeah. But I thought it was cool.
I like seeing people in complete control of NFL offenses. I like it when they're taking action and they're heirs of commission as opposed to heirs of omission. And again, I don't want to – just every idiot – and by the way, this was like Schefter and Orlovsky. I'm not talking local. I'm talking big picture, right? This conspiracy went all the way to the top, baby. People were talking about a real quarterback controversy, and the prisoner of the moment nonsense is embarrassing. And I hope that folks don't forget who is out here peddling that shit, frankly, because it's like Mac did an outstanding job. He did his job. He managed the game.
Also,
the house didn't get set on fire.
He's just chilling. He's like having the time of his life, taking a knee at the end of the game, just goofing around. You could not ask for a better number two.
Absolutely. I mean, Jacoby Brissett even. And that's an argument. But at least Mac's a weird, kind of a weird dude. Like, he brings some levity.
He's got a weird, goofy, like, affability that I can't really pin down that I don't know.
He's a very unique flavor. Let's like, you ever been to Cafe Van Cleef in Oakland?
I have not.
Oh, okay. Well, they make the best greyhounds in the world. Okay. And I'm not a vodka guy or a grapefruit guy, frankly. But you get that and you're like, I don't know. But then you have like seven of them and you're like, I'm also extremely drunk now. Yeah. This is fun. Mac is both the guy who's had seven of those and the drink itself. Like, you're not quite sure. You don't quite get it, but we're having a good time. You let it happen.
That's how I felt. I went to, you ever been to Holy Water in Bernal Heights?
It's a
Christ-themed restaurant that or bar that has like an incredible cocktail menu. They have a drink called the Zombie that is a limit two per person. And I went out with some Irishmen. This was two nights ago.
Okay.
I'm not sure if I'd be sitting here if it was last night. I've been recovering for 2 days.
Who are these Irishmen? Ooh.
Old roommate and some Irish folk. Good folks. But my God,
proper stuff.
I was hurting.
You can't keep up with Irishmen, San Francisco liberals. We can't keep up with them.
No one can or should.
No, it's the Irish and then Eastern Europeans, like 1-2.
There's nothing to lose.
they are out here and they are built different. All right.
They are.
If you like the show, hit subscribe. We know that not all of you are. We will find and hunt down those who are not. You can help yourself get off the list by hitting subscribe. You should subscribe to Jake's Hutch Report. He's going to have the breakdowns for you. My God, are the breakdowns comprehensive?
Yeah.
Overly comprehensive, one would argue.
Some might say, yeah, overly comprehensive, too much. Ruining my life a little bit, sure. You might say that, and that's why you should subscribe.
San Francisco 49ers football, ruining our
lives.
That's right. We'll be back with you on Tuesday and Thursday. This week.
That's right.
Back to our
normal schedule.
And until then, have a good one. Bye.